knowledge fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan. Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a Christian caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work. Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan!
Quick question for
What's
you.
Up?
What's your bright spot today?
My bright spot today, Jordan, is very simple. Vinegar.
Vinegar.
Yep.
Just vinegar.
Yep.
Moving on.
Yep.
End of podcast.
I believe that this segment is called Bright Spots, not Explain Your Bright Spots.
That's fair.
I've been looking for salad dressing replacements. I'm trying to eat a little bit better,
sure.
And I accidentally stumbled upon some interesting vinegars, like a strawberry rosé vinegar.
Interesting.
And it's fantastic.
I agree that is an interesting vinegar.
Yeah. Had that on a salad, had it on some chicken, and now I've decided that I'm going to explore the wonderful world of vinegar.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. I didn't realize that there was such a diverse world of weird vinegar products. I thought it was just vinegar.
Yeah, that makes sense, though.
Yeah.
Vinegar isn't like ketchup. It's not just like a thing.
No, but there are also a bunch of different ketchups.
Yeah, but there's ketchup.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Not really.
Okay, fair enough.
I have a champagne vinegar in the cabinet that I'm excited to break into. Right. I've not tried that yet.
Uh-huh.
And then what did I order? I ordered one online that...
Sure.
It's a chamomile tea vinegar.
I'm never not going to enjoy your willingness to put both feet in the pond before you have any idea how
the pond
deep it
is full of vinegar. Yeah, I enjoy it. We'll see what happens.
Yes.
It's the vinegar week.
Yeah.
What about
we're
you?
We're gonna do 500 vinegars this
week. No, we're not. And we'll get back to the seltzers here soon enough.
Sure. My bright spot, Dan, is unfortunately also food related. But it is also a gratitude towards our listeners related.
Oh, that's nice.
We got that. I got that peanut butter for our 500th episode. Fit and Fog.
Yeah.
I keep saying Phineas and Fog, but I think that's a Nickelodeon cartoon.
That's something else. That's Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah,
I think.
Something like that. And it is excellent.
I bet
it is. Spectacular. It is, and it's also
it's
like
spectacular.
Ah, there we go. Nicely done.
Thanks.
No, it's just that, like, oh shit, I forgot what it tastes like when it's made out of real things. You know, like when you eat Jif, you're like, this is borderline all sugar and fake peanut.
It's pronounced GIF.
Yeah, nicely done.
That's probably a hacky joke.
No, it's pronounced Skippy, I think.
Oh.
That's what I say whenever people say it's Jif.
But what about like a lot of grocery stores, they have the things where you can just put the peanuts in and grind it up yourself.
Yeah, but
do you ever fuck around with that?
No. Why would I want to work?
Oh,
why would I want to work?
All right.
I go to the grocery store because I don't have a peanut farm, not because I want to
talk to my boy Jim.
I don't want to moonlight as a peanut farm worker.
Talk to my buddy Jim. He'll
Jimmy
help you
Carter?
Out. That's him. You know the guy?
I've heard of him.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad you're enjoying that peanut butter.
Yes, thank you very much, Bex.
So, Jordan, today we are having a very exciting time here. It is time for the thrilling conclusion,
the dramatic conclusion,
Caravanity Project 2020. I'm Dan. This is Caravanity Project 2020.
All right.
Today we're going to be talking about November 11th, the evening of Wednesday until
whenever.
This weekend's nonsense.
Sure, DC.
So we'll see what happens as Owen Schroyer continues on his great big convoy down along the south and up the eastern seaboard.
Right. Okay.
And,
here we go.
Yep. So we'll get to that here in a minute, but before we do, let's take a moment to say thank you to some folks who have signed up and are supporting the show. So first, John M., thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Next, Kara M., thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Kara.
Thank you. Next, Simeon M. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
A lot of M's.
I'm Simeon.
A lot of last initials of M's.
Yep. All related.
Next, Gunner D. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Gunner.
Next, Chris D. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Chris.
Next, Kate. No last name.
No last name.
No last initial.
Just any Kate.
Kate. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Kate.
And I voted third party in 2016. Sorry and never again. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much. That stuff.
Yeah. And finally, I'd like to say thank you to a couple folks who donated on an elevated level. We appreciate that very much. So, Kit and Laura from Cincinnati, thank you so much. You are now a technocrat. Bianca C, thank you so much. You are now a technocrat. And Evan M, thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate, that's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
We got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right?
Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why you pimp so good?
My neck is freakishly large.
I declare info war on you.
Thank you so much, Kit and Laura out in Cincy.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bianca, and thank you, Evan.
Yes, thank you very much, all of you.
If you're out there listening and thinking, hey, I enjoy the show, I'd like to support what these gents do, you can do that by going to our website, knowledgefight.com, clicking the button that says support the show. We would appreciate it.
We would love it.
Or
what you could do is you could dip a knife into a big old jar of generosity. Just dip a knife in there, pull out some crunchy, just creamy generosity, spread it all over the bagel of a local charity or bail fund in your area.
And then top it with some really weird vinegar.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Jordan, I have two out-of-context drops from today's show. So, we'll do one now and one in a little bit.
I, because I'm a Christian, cannot kill you just because you're stupid.
Fair enough. Seems good.
Let's see.
I support this prohibition on killing.
Now I'm going back through my Bible to see how many people were killed because they were stupid, and it's a lot, but I don't know if it was post-Christ.
And I don't know if it was specifically only because they were stupid.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, Jordan, when we last left off on our previous episode, mm-hmm. Owen Schroyer and his merry band of Shao Kahn impersonators and hippies for Trump were about to roll into Atlanta, Georgia. That was Wednesday the 11th. Alex had just wrapped up his show where Steve Pachanik came in to claim that whether or not you believe the 2020 election was a massive sting operation planned in advance to catch Democrats stealing votes, it's a small detail whether you believe that or not. What is important is that Trump is going to win, and then apparently he's going to get a third term because these dudes love America. One thing that's crucially important to understand as we continue exploring this caravan is that at a certain point, it stops being an InfoWars caravan, and it starts being InfoWars within the larger space. I'm comfortable judging Owen and InfoWars for their crowds in places like Tallahassee and Baton Rouge because those are specifically InfoWars caravan events, or at least appear to be.
Sure.
Once they reach Washington, D.C., they are now becoming part of something larger, which is the combined work of a network of loosely affiliated grifters. The plan for the weekend has been for everyone to show up in D.C. and form the Million MAGA March.
I call it Griftpocalypse.
It's fair. This effort combines the InfoWars caravan with Ali Alexander's Stop the Steal campaign, as well as Brandon Straka's Walk Away nonsense and whatever the fuck Mike Cernovich is doing these days. Beyond that, it's attracted the legions of Oath Keepers, Proud Boys, and members of many right-wing gangs who are less interested in hogging the spotlight. According to an article from Friday in USA Today, the only group that had a permit for the event is a group called Women for America First. Quote, Amy Kramer, chair for Women for America First, said her organization is not coordinating with any of the other groups planning simultaneous events. This is really interesting because according to a recent article in Mother Jones, Women for America First run one of the main websites for Stop the Steal, www.stolenelection.us. Donations that people made on these to Stop the Steal through that website. End up going to Women for America First, and the site was used to promote rallies branded as Stop the Steal.
Great.
Anyway, it's a load of bullshit.
Griftpocalypse it is.
Yeah, it's a load of bullshit to pretend these people aren't coordinating.
Yeah. But
that's not even an argument that's really worth having, I think. The point is that the end result of these rallies will be the combined efforts of a whole cadre of weirdos. And so even if we get to the end of this and there is like a big turnout in D.C., we have to keep our eyes on the ball and remember that had nothing to do with this stupid road trip.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's because evil Steve Bannon Nick Furied us into the Avengers of Grifters.
More or less.
That's what happened.
So here's our second out of context drop.
We've never lived in more historical times. This is one of the most historical points in history, except when Jesus Christ was walking on the earth. That was more important.
Okay. All right. Yikes.
Let's see if we can name other historical figures who have
can't do it.
None. It's just Jesus.
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 Right now.
Okay.
He's even right. Saying that like 1776 wasn't a big deal.
All right, but what about Genghis Khan? When he died, an entire empire fell apart.
Small potatoes.
Okay, fair enough.
Small
fair
potatoes. Enough. Do you see that march in D.C.? Fuck.
It looked exactly like hundreds of thousands of Mongols riding horseback with their amazing bows.
That shit was nothing.
Yeah. Oh, fair enough.
So, the 11th, November.
Sure.
Owen Troyer arrives in Atlanta.
Owen Troyer here from Infowars.com. We have just landed in Atlanta, Georgia. And we are on our way right now to the Capitol building, where we have patriots, Trump supporters, Info Warriors gathered as part of the Stop the Steal caravan.
There was no reason for me to pull this clip. Nothing happens in it. I only decided to start with this because the opening of the video in Atlanta is surreal. You have Owen Troyer poking his little head out of the sunroof of the InfoWars tank with a handheld mic, talking about how they're heading to the Capitol while driving down an empty street. There's no reason for them to choose this presentation. All it does is make the audio terrible, since even if Owen has a windscreen on his mic, he's still using a regular microphone while hanging out of a moving vehicle. It's just very bizarre.
No, it was really easy to understand what he was saying whole time.
It was infuriating.
No, it was great.
This video's real bad.
No. Pop out of there to emptiness.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
But empty road.
Yeah.
It's the Stop the Steal caravan, and right now, it is very successful. It looks like we may stop the steal, but we got to take this thing right to Washington, D.C.
There's one thing that's suspicious in its absence from this shot of Owen hanging out the top of the tank, and that's any indication that there are any cars behind him. You would think that if the caravan is as successful as Owen is claiming, then they'd pan around to show the giant convoy, but nope. Just Owen talking to no one, driving down an empty street.
That's a great metaphor.
You know that I'm Mr. Caravan fan, Mr. Caravan, if you will, but I found it incredibly challenging to jump back into this stuff, entirely because how poorly produced this InfoWars video is. Owen doesn't arrive at the Atlanta rally until 8 minutes into the video, and the entire time up to that point is just him with his head out the sunroof repeatedly saying, Atlanta, we're in you.
It sounds more like that, like, after the end of a week at camp, they always have the slideshow with there's always a clip of somebody being like, and that's why we love camp. And when they're swelling music around it, everybody's like, yeah, that's great. But if it was just him silent to emptiness, you'd be like, this is a bad camp.
Well, if I went to that camp, I'd probably be into a well-made version of memories from camp.
Sure.
I still wouldn't be into it if it was poorly made. And that's how I feel about this. Like, even if I were into InfoWars and I thought Owen was cool, I'd still be like, guy's got to do better than this. This is 8 minutes of bad. Owen saying nothing, out the roof of a tank. This sucks.
It's like the worst version of Mission Impossible.
I don't understand. They didn't need to keep it for time or anything. There's no reason for this to be in there. It's so distractingly bad.
It's just hubris. I think it's just hubris. They just think any idea is the best idea at the time. Their attention span is nothing.
Well, I would argue that it's more likely that they think that there's something badass about him driving around out the sunroof.
That is
and
what
I would argue it does not look that badass.
No.
It kind of looks just like, I mean, it looks fun-ish.
Eh.
You know, wind in your hair.
Yeah, I saw it on MythBusters one time. It was great.
Sure, I don't know. It made this a chore.
Ugh.
So on his way, I mean, whether or not he's badass or not, leaning out the roof of this here tank, he does end up at a stoplight, and there's a guy at the stoplight.
There's something so fucked up and like immediately deflating about a tank at a stoplight.
It's pretty sad.
How dare you be stopped by light? You're a fucking tank.
Yeah, leading that's a convoy.
Weak. Yeah, that's weak shit. No, get the fuck out of here.
He obeys traffic laws, and he tries to do a little bit of crowd work with the guy who's standing waiting to cross the street.
And so that's our plan, and that's why we're in Atlanta here today. How are you doing, sir? Me too. Atlanta. Atlanta, we are here. Stop the steel caravan has arrived.
Hey, how far out are we?
Less than a mile.
Okay.
They are out of gas. There is no enthusiasm left in this fucking thing at all.
No.
I am trying really hard to stay excited about this, and they're not doing
it. They're bored.
Yes.
They realized a couple of days in it was a terrible idea.
Yes.
They're not having fun.
We went to Baton Rouge. We drove 7 fucking hours, and there were 10 people there. What are we doing?
There's nobody
sucks.
There.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So Owen...
See, this is when you want to be on the RV.
Yes.
This is when you want to be getting the conversations and bird's eye view just right there. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So Owen thinks he's funny, and so he tries... He has a bit that he wants to do, and this is like... I mean, I guess this is exactly how comedians do it. You know, you polish things up at open mics before you try it on a real crowd.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
And for Owen, the open mic is sticking his head out the top of a car while no one's listening.
Oh, that's fair.
I think the Democrats are actually still voting, guys. Are the Democrats still voting in Georgia, or have they stopped yet? Do we know? I think they're still voting because Biden's not ahead yet.
So there's no one there.
Wow.
He's just talking to nobody.
Brutal. See,
Now, hold on.
I want more Shao Kahn jokes.
Well, maybe your mood will change.
Okay.
Once you hear the crowd with in the background. Okay. You know, him try this on an actual audience.
Here we go.
I think the Democrats are still voting, guys. I think the Democrats are still voting in Georgia. They haven't stopped voting yet because Joe Biden hasn't been put in the lead. So they're going to keep voting here in Georgia until Joe Biden gets the lead. But I don't think it's going to work.
Good stuff.
But I don't think it's going to work.
Good tag.
All right. Good work, guys.
So, you know, I that sound wasn't that great, but I can't throw too much shade at the turnout at the Atlanta rally. It's still south of 200 people, but that's really good for an InfoWars event that's taking place during the day.
Yeah, that's not bad.
So far, their daytime rallies have been very, very sad, and this at least looks like what you might call a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
There were some strange signs in the crowd. One was just a big queue with the "Where we go one, we go all" slogan. Another was, quote, "Trump's coup d'etat is already underway," which kind of implies that Trump is leading an overthrow of the government.
I really don't think they get how that sounds.
That seems to either be a counter-protester or the opposite of what the messaging is supposed to be.
Sure,
I don't know what's going on. Overall, I would give this Atlanta rally a solid meh. Decent turnout when we grade on a curve, but full of suspect weirdos and nothing really interesting at all. It kind of feels like this was an event that might have been planned already and Owen just crashed it, since there's definitely some people there who seem to be confused by his arrival.
Sure.
The video on InfoWars is titled, quote, "Democrats send operatives to start violence at rally in Atlanta," which I don't see in the video itself. And even if there were violence in the video, their claim that they were operatives sent in by anyone is completely manufactured and not substantiated in any way. I think the title is in reference to a young woman who drives by and yells that Trump isn't president anymore, which is the closest I could see, which is scary stuff.
Yeah.
At a certain point, another guy with a bullhorn threatens Owen's dominance with a "We don't want pedo Joe" chant, but it all resolves peacefully.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I would hate to see infighting at these. I imagine they're Democratic operatives. That's got to be somebody in the movie who's like, they're green. It's their first operation in the field. You know, they've been on the desk for a few years. Somebody else got injured. So now it's their chance to shine. And they're like, we're sending you to a rally with 200 people to cause problems. Oh, no.
We're going to go send you to Agent Provocateur, something that needs no Agent Provocateurs to get out of control.
Can I try and solve terrorism or something?
Next time.
All right.
So the video from Just Another Channel also doesn't really show any violence. There's a little bit of yelling between a few people at one point, but it's unclear what the context is. And then there's a long segment where the video maker and his friend Tom, who's now our friend Tom,
sure,
complain about how someone is flipping them off from a nearby window. It's pretty sad.
What is wrong with these people?
It's very bummer.
Oh, I love triggering the lip. He's giving me the finger.
And they're just like making heart shapes with their hands.
Sure,
and
yeah.
And the guy's like, fuck.
Fuck you.
So the Atlanta rally was at 3 p.m., and unlike past stops, this one included what appeared to be a little bit of an actual march. I have no idea where they were going or why they were parading, but it seemed like a new development compared to previous cities.
I don't think they did either, Dan.
From there, Owen was off, because he had to arrive in Columbia, South Carolina for an 8 p.m.
sure,
rally.
Sure, sure.
InfoWars only posted a 1 minute video about South Carolina, which seems weird. Because,
right?
Because from the Just Another Channel footage, it seems like that would be the most useful for them optically.
Sure.
It was nighttime. Uh-huh. The turnout was pretty good.
Okay.
And there were some college students yelling at them, creating the sort of tension and victimhood they desire in their optics.
Sure, sure, sure. Operatives go to college, spend $40,000 to $60,000, and then they're undercover enough to shout obscenities. Yeah.
In the video on InfoWars, we get a shot of the caravan itself, and it's really hard to tell how many of these cars are actually along with them or if it's just traffic. Assuming that all these cars are part of the convoy, it's like maybe 10 to 15 cars, which is nothing to sneeze at if you're an indie band or something, but it's really sad for day three when you're InfoWars.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's
not a convoy.
Turnout was all right in Columbia, South Carolina, but again, it's easy to overestimate because it was nighttime. They ended up taking a big group picture in front of the Capitol building, and I think it's about 150 people, probably.
Sure, sure. That's nice.
Yeah.
Good for them.
In the evening of the 11th, things took a turn for the ugly.
Ooh.
As the InfoWars caravan came under attack.
Uh-oh.
According to a video posted on Parler, trucks were throwing milkshakes at the convoy, and here is the report.
Well, here we are in the InfoWars caravan still. I think we're like 20 cars strong, 30 cars strong right now. In line with everybody. I'm like five cars back behind the InfoWars riot wagon or armored vehicle, whatever you'd like to call it. I actually just had a trucker throw something at me and it exploded all over my truck, some sort of nasty milkshake or something.
A nasty milkshake.
There was a young girl driving in a Pontiac and she cut the trucker off and he started flashing her and threw something at her and it hit me. So I'm getting attacked because other people in the caravan aren't driving well. But, yeah, I don't know. I've got a million miles at least in traveling back and forth across this country, and I've never had a trucker throw a milkshake at me. So that's definitely a new one.
Oh, that's nice.
This is rather interesting. But anyway, we're on our way to D.C., and I'm going to have to get a car wash at some point to wash all that shit off my car. You can actually see several of our guys up here ahead of us.
You don't get to use car washes.
Driving this caravan stuff is pretty crazy because people are slowing and then speeding up and slowing and then speeding up. And then people are trying to cut us off and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So.
No shit!
It's wild driving in caravan, guys. Hope you're all staying safe to me, not getting any dramas.
People were pretty quick to point out that the reason for all the things this guy is describing is because they were basically clogging the interstate.
Yeah.
They had 20 cars in a row in the passing lane, which is at best dumb and selfish,
they
and at worst pretty dangerous.
They had it in the passing lane?
They were on the left side of the road.
As a Chicagoan, that upsets me more than what they stand for.
When you do a convoy like this, there's no reason that the cars all need to actually travel down the highway in a line. But that's what they seemed insistent on doing, which is stupid.
Of course.
Plus, they were doing this convoy at night for no reason. This was the leg between Columbia, South Carolina, and Raleigh, North Carolina, which is about 3.5 hours drive. And the North Carolina rally was at 3 p.m. on Thursday. There's no reason to night drive that one in a convoy 20 cars deep. That's just asshole behavior.
Oh, God.
Luckily, everyone survived.
You don't get to use a car wash. You're a rugged individualist. You have to find a fucking hose. You don't get to use all of these creature comforts if you're trying to sell yourself as the fucking revolutionary that you are.
I would like to...
Che Guevara didn't fucking wash his shit in a fucking washing machine.
I'd like to shift your criticism.
Okay.
I don't care whether they use car washes
Fine,
or not.
I get that.
I would like to say... You don't get to complain about someone throwing a milkshake at your car.
I agree with.
Grow up.
I thoroughly agree with.
Yeah. Everyone survived, and now we jump in on the 12th on Alex Jones's show. Because, again, who knows? David Knight might have had full coverage of the caravan, and it'll be a mystery lost to time, much like who built the pyramids. Was it the aliens or was it Egyptians?
Not the aliens.
We'll never know. What if David Knight covered it?
Nope,
back
nope.
then.
Non-white people can also build things, right, turns
but,
out.
But what if the equivalent of David Knight covered, like, ancient mysteries?
Sure,
and we'll just
sure.
never know because we'll it was so boring. Know.
Yeah, that's possible. That's yeah, possible. David, if you wanted to hide true information, you give it to David Knight and no one will ever know.
Yeah, and if you want to have really fun, interesting fake information, give it to him and it'll bore the shit out of me.
Exactly.
Which is normally what happens. So anyway, here is Alex attempting to make some analogies, and I apologize in advance for the audio quality on this show.
Okay.
They were saying, Alex, why are they having people that have moved out of California vote for Biden when Biden was already going to win the state? Well, once you're already flipping everybody's votes and already stealing, you keep stealing to stay in power.
Why?
That's
what?
Why nobody can win as a
they
Republican.
They already got it.
In California,
stop.
Unless you have like an 80% you know, victory because of the fraud. That's why there was 87% turnout. We never had anything near that in the U.S., usually 55-60%. Because people went out to vote against
Donald Trump,
Biden, and they just got cheated by the computers. So that's coming up. But again, people are like, well, why would they cheat in California? They've already got it because they already cheated. It's like saying
you're a genius.
You know, if you've remarried and your new wife's pregnant and you're like, well, why do you have a 18-year-old son? Well, I got another woman pregnant before. It's just there's no third dimensional thought here. Why are they stealing states they already got? Because they already got them.
What?
I mean, let me use another example.
Yes, please.
Let's say I'm slaughtering cows.
Okay. All right.
And I'm about to slaughter a new one for, you know, to put it in my deep freeze.
Of course.
And people ask, well, why do you keep the other deep freeze going that's got, you know, some of the last cow left in it?
That's a good question.
It doesn't even register. See, once we start thinking third dimensionally, we can defeat the globalists because they're operating third dimensional. We can operate fourth, fifth dimension.
Are they?
Many plays out. And that's what we do here at InfoWars. I don't know if Trump plays 3D chess or 5D chess, but I know I do.
So I listened to Alex a bunch, so I can help you out here, because sure. That was a garbled mess.
Sure, yeah, that was great. I got the point really well.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, let's see if you did.
Okay.
The point he's trying to make is that Trump basically won almost every state, but there was fraud all over the place.
Sure.
There was even massive voter fraud in California, which people he talks to can't understand. They don't understand why the globalists would steal votes in California when California consistently votes Democrat. Alex's explanation is that California doesn't actually consistently vote Democrat, and the appearance that they do is only there because of the voting fraud that's already and always going on there. They were stealing votes in California because they're only in power in California due to all the votes they always steal. This is not that complicated of a concept that he's trying to describe, and yet Alex struggles to come up with two really bad analogies. The first is getting married and your new wife is pregnant, but you have an 18-year-old child, which is from a previous marriage. This analogy doesn't make sense because each pregnancy would be an unrelated event, whereas the imaginary voting fraud would probably only be able to be pulled off by the people in California because the people committing all the fraud are in power and covering it up.
No, they're having kids because they've already always been having kids, Dan.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
The previous fraud facilitates the current fraud.
Sure.
In the California example.
True.
The way to make this analogy actually work would be to imagine a scenario where the new wife allows Alex to impregnate her because she's so impressed that he has an 18-year-old son.
That would make sense.
Something about his son needs to implicate the current situation, and in the existing analogy, that's not the case.
That's fair.
With the California stuff, the idea is that they're stealing the election because they always do. So it's possible that another way to make this analogy work is for Alex's response to this person to be that his new wife is pregnant because he only gets romantically involved with women he's gotten pregnant.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Then the analogy would work.
That would make sense.
The second analogy Alex is trying is that he's slaughtering a cow while keeping what's left of his previous cow in the deep freeze. This also doesn't make sense based on what he's trying to say. This would be a good analogy if you were trying to argue that Democrats kept deep frozen votes from the last election to use in this one because they won by such a wide margin last time, so they had leftovers or something.
Are they reusable like that?
I mean, in terms of the keeping cows in the deep freezer,
sure.
that's how that might work.
I would put the votes in a plastic bag.
Sure.
So they don't get wet.
Smart.
Yeah.
Neither of these analogies help clarify his point, but Alex insists this is somehow third dimensional thinking, whatever the fuck that means.
Yeah.
Really, the only thing that these two analogies have in common is a sense of time that whoever Alex is talking to seems unaware of. The child from a previous marriage analogy involves a person who doesn't realize you could have had a child with someone else in the past. The cow butchering example involves a person who doesn't realize that the cow in the freezer will eventually be eaten in the future. The only thing I come away from this convinced of is that Alex is really bad at analogies, and the people he talks to on a regular basis must have a difficulty with really elementary concepts, maybe even object permanence.
Have we tested Alex on object permanence?
We tried to play peekaboo?
I would be interested to know exactly what extent his object permanence lasts to.
I
assume it's more than peekaboo.
Okay.
But is it like 6 months?
If anybody who's involved with the Sandy Hook trial is listening,
yeah,
on the stand, test his object permanence.
Here's what you do. On the first day, hold up a sign and then see if he remembers that there was a sign in the room.
Anyway,
that would be fun.
Yeah. So in this next clip, Alex discusses the cycle of history. There's some interesting theories about this, but it's pretty simple based on his assessment.
Okay.
What happens throughout history?
Good question. Stuff.
Governments get power, whether it be in ancient China or ancient Middle East or ancient Mesoamerica or ancient Europe. And routinely they have periods where there'll be whole kingdoms, whole civilizations of thriving people. And just suddenly there's no one left. And this archaeologists go there. There's archaeological digs in Germany, archaeological digs in Mexico, everywhere. Archaeological digs in Africa. And they'll build a civilization. And then within 100 years, everybody's dead. And they find them all sacrificed. And the final phase, eaten by the priest class.
Sure, sure.
Yes, there's a demonic force, ladies and gentlemen, that's trying to depopulate us.
Of course.
And they're announcing it publicly. I'm going to break it down on the other side. This is the most important broadcast in the world.
This is the cycle of history.
Wow. Wow. I wish there was some way that every archaeological dig throughout history found like some sort of recording or like a tablet or something, and it's all just the same Alex Jones ideas. Like every civilization has been ultimately destroyed by somebody like Alex Jones.
Someone who thinks that history is a cycle of decadence leading to the priests eating everyone.
Yeah, there's had to be somebody in ancient Rome running around screaming like, the priest class is eating people!
Almost,
they're eating people!
Almost certainly. Yes. I would say that maybe in crueler times,
sure,
they had less of an influence.
Sure, possible.
Because they couldn't ever
get so much cruelty.
Well, because they could never get to a point where they would have a radio show.
Sure, that's fair.
You know, people would just like
kill them.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that's the ideal solution.
No, I don't think so.
I do guarantee that this sort of mentality has probably existed throughout all cultures.
Yeah, I would probably argue that
it's just paranoia, right? On a basic level, it's all just like sort of imaginative, creative paranoia.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I suppose you could probably make a very good argument that every civilization ultimately collapses when the perceived corruption of the government equals the actual corruption of the government.
Hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying. I don't know how I could test that in the moment. I don't know how I could test your theory.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Let me give you analogy. I've just slaughtered a cow.
Yep.
All right, move on.
Deep freeze.
Next one.
No, like, I understand what you're saying, and I think it's an interesting thought, but I don't know if I fully agree with you.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's accurate.
I don't know
but
if
it's
I
an
fully
interesting
agree
thought.
With me.
Well, it's well said.
It sounds really great.
It sounds almost like an aphorism.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah. Society collapses when the perceived corruption matches the actual corruption.
It sounds like something
somebody
smart would say. Yeah. Never mind. I take back my comment because now it's pillow worthy.
Yeah, yeah. So it's probably not true.
No, definitely not true.
No.
It's probably economics.
Yeah. I worry about it being bullshit because it sounds good.
It sounds so good.
Yeah. Speaking of things that are bullshit.
Shao Kahn jokes?
Caravan, at some points, more than 400 cars, some join, some leave, is on its way right now and is in North Carolina.
There's absolutely zero chance that there have been 400 cars in the caravan at any point. And I would be comfortable betting that there wasn't even a total of 400 cars throughout the entire thing. I would go so far as to bet that the combined turnout for the events that have happened up to this point on November 12th are barely more than 400 total people.
I would agree.
This is insane levels of hubris.
Yeah, there aren't enough people in the cars themselves. No. Like, it's not like there's four people to a car where if you guys could all afford your own individual cars, there would be 200 cars.
Yeah.
No.
There's
five guys.
I'm offended that there probably are 10 cars. That is, to me, is shocking and scary.
What are you guys doing?
But three of the cars are probably InfoWars employees. Another one is the guy from Just Another Channel. Another car is the hippies for Trump. So, like...
They're not busy.
No.
This is their
certainly
dream.
Certainly not.
This is their dream.
Yes.
We want to live the hippie lifestyle while also supporting a political candidate that is trying to actively kill us.
My grandpa followed the Grateful Dead around. I'm following Owen Schroyer.
Man. that's real bad.
You know where the best place to get drugs is? The parking lot of an Owen Schroyer show.
Who's my real dad, Mom?
Well, back in the 2020s,
Schroyer came through South Carolina, and we spent one magical night together on the InfoWars caravan, and here you are.
Like 70-year-old people with InfoWars caravan tattoos.
Where were you, man?
Oh, man, you should have seen it. There were upwards of 50 people.
If you can remember the InfoWars caravan, that means you weren't there.
You sad bastards.
Oh, God, it's a bummer. It's such a bummer.
That's such a bummer.
Anyway,
oh man,
let's get back to Alex.
What did you do? I followed Pat Robertson around for a summer. What?
I do love the idea.
All right, we can't live in 18 different versions of that exact same joke.
No, we jump back to Alex, and I will say that there is one thing that Alex is pretty consistent on. Mm-hmm. It's something he's very wrong about, and that is that he does not exaggerate things. Mm. He talks about that a little bit here.
I thought about doing this broadcast for 26 plus years. You know, you always think about what could be your last broadcast. I'm not saying this is my last broadcast, but I need to just let you know, I need to explain something to you, that I don't exaggerate any of this, okay? Most of the time, it's worse than I'm telling you. And this could be our last broadcast. Next week could be. But the zone we're in right now, the internet kill switch they've got, they can hit telecommunications as well. And we're in the prime zone for them to assassinate Trump, set a nuke off, anything.
Well, good thing you don't exaggerate.
Never, ever feel safe. I don't exaggerate things, but if you spend one single moment in safety, you're an idiot.
Does this mean that this is the actual last broadcast that he's been teasing doing to play after he's done?
If he is,
that would imply that he's already quit it.
Yeah.
It's very weird. I don't know what's going on because he's talking about this sort of like it could be his last broadcast. It's not. He's on tomorrow.
No, obviously.
It's on the next day, but I want him to do that fucking mythical last broadcast already.
Yeah, it has to.
Yeah.
How can you say I don't exaggerate things and then say this could be our last broadcast knowing full well that you've got at least several more months in the, you know, like you're very.
'Cause you're an asshole?
Your very exhortation for money is in and of itself an exaggeration.
Yeah.
Because
you're an ass.
Yeah.
This sort of thing, though, this extremeness is really escalating here in this stretch of time. I guess maybe Alex is disappointed in the caravan because he's talking about a nuke's going to go off. Trump could get assassinated.
Of course.
They're going to turn off the internet.
Why not?
And he basically in this next clip just says, head to the hills, guys. It's over.
I have been under such stress knowing we have a chance to stop this and save billions of people. And the stress has been on me that Howard Stern made jokes about it and it's a funny viral video about how I had three molars collapse the last 2 months. I mean, all my teeth are literally crushing and falling out of my face. I have to wear
maybe it's those fucking pills.
On it. And I'm not feeling sorry for myself. My spirit is absolutely lashing out at this and fighting. And God really last night sent the Holy Spirit to me to comfort me and to say, listen, this is the way it's going to be. And it's your job is just get people ready. And you've done your job. Now you just need to get them ready. So I'm just going to tell you, it's all over, folks. The best thing you can do is get to the countryside somewhere, try to dig in, because it's all just going to get worse.
Holy shit. The only thing that differentiates Alex from someone like Jim Jones is that Jim Jones was specific.
Yeah.
Also, not for nothing, you even responded to this. Being passionate doesn't result in grinding your teeth to the point they fall out of your head.
Yeah.
However, that's one of the most common symptoms of stimulant abuse. Between that, pretty much everything about how Alex acts, and the fact that Joe Rogan tried to get Alex to talk about his problem with Adderall on their last episode, kind of makes the picture come into focus. Alex might as well be like a high-functioning cokehead.
Yeah.
Like it all makes a bit more sense when you imagine that, oh, yeah, he's on stimulants.
Yep.
That's
a disappointingly simple answer.
Yeah.
But probably the correct one, yeah.
Well, I don't think it makes I don't think it explains everything. Obviously, there's still a whole bunch of ideas that are bad.
Sure.
And it certainly doesn't let him off the hook for his behavior.
No.
But it does make it like a lot of things that don't make sense do make sense when you consider, yeah, like, oh, he's just on drugs.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. That's about right.
So billions are going to die and you got to head to the hills.
Sure.
Right?
No.
Alex needs you to know billions are going to die.
He doesn't exaggerate, though.
Billions are going to die.
Oh, shit.
They're going to release mass bioweapons and kill billions of people. And I don't just say that. You will watch billions die. With blood pouring out of their eyes, their ears, their mouths, okay?
Cool.
I mean, you're going to watch absolute mass extermination. We didn't stand up for the children. We didn't stand up for God. And we rejected Christ, and Satan now is coming into the earth. And I'm not trying to be negative. Everybody wants to hear all this positive lies. All you can do is get right with Christ. I can just tell you that right now. We can hold him back. Trump may still prevail. But we've seen the model of the devil's attack. It's exactly what Revelation says, but now we're in it. We are now entering Satan's first big lash with his plan. And he'll keep going and going and going until he makes war on the saints and overcomes them.
It's going to be really difficult to go back to normal after that.
In the biblical end times.
There isn't like a really easy way to walk back. We're in Revelation.
Hey, guys. Because
Revelation doesn't include like false starts.
Guys,
you know?
I got some good news for you. They closed the third seal. They closed the third seal back up, guys. We've only got to deal with seals 1 and 2. Let's get to work. Unfortunately, there's going to need to be a lockdown to deal with all these goddamn plagues.
We have a special on seal sealant. And,
yeah. Get the fuck out of here. It's biblical.
It's troubling. It's troubling because like it feels like the only move after this is go away or become a doomsday, like full on religious preacher.
Yeah, I mean, they did all that stuff when Obama was elected, too, though. It was the biblical end times. I kept
not
hearing
Alex.
About that. No, that's true. That's true. But I heard about the biblical end times
lot. From biblical end times preachers.
Well, yeah.
They can be wrong a bunch of times.
That's true.
But they can't transition to something less extreme. You know, like they can say we were wrong in the, or whatever.
Sure.
And like, hey.
I mean, they could become a hot dog vendor.
These are the blood moons. This is the real, you know, you can do that.
That would be fun.
Like, look, last time we thought we knew it was up, but this time, blood moon.
Yeah.
You can do that. But you can't be like, the world is going to end. I know it's coming. And then be wrong and then be like, well, what you really need to do is focus on your alderman race or whatever. Or like, it's really tough to desensationalize from the point of end times.
Well, I mean, that's again, like the idea of like, all right, we lost this one. Devil's going to win, but we got to focus on the midterms in order to defeat the devil again, I guess.
Right. And the other problem, too, is if you are an end times type, end times always got to be coming.
Yeah.
End times cannot be here.
No, it's really bad when it's here.
Yes.
Yeah, that fucks you up.
That's the money is in end times being coming down the road somewhere.
Totally.
It really screws things up when it's here. And I think Alex is going to, I don't know. I see this as a bad decision on his part. So Alex gets to talking about galactic laws, contract law for aliens.
Sure.
This is really stupid.
This is fifth dimensional chess, huh?
This is fucking stupid.
I don't know all the timelines, but I know the globalists always tell us what they're going to do in their internal documents that are public, but they don't promote them, but it's a metaphysical rule. They got to tell you what they're doing and kind of leave the plans laying on the roadside so you have a chance to read the fine print if you can find it. Kind of a public notice. That's why you have public notice that they're going to take a piece of property or public notice they're about to tear something down or public notice they're about to take a park away from you. I was able to give you notice because you have metaphysical, spiritual rights, unalienable rights to challenge that. This is common law. This is galactic law. This is God's law. And even the devil has to follow it.
This is a comically childish and stupid view of morality, and I would just like to take everyone who claims that Alex is smart and he has good points and ask them what they think of that, because that moral system that Alex is presenting is really hard to defend if you want to look at human history. It's simple enough to say that everyone who deprived people of their inalienable rights went to hell after they died.
Like Thomas Jefferson.
That's kind of a problem. Yeah. Alex would have to then either say that slavery doesn't violate inalienable rights.
Who said
or
it did?
A bunch of his heroes and ancestors are in hell.
Well.
But leaving that aside, looking at the actions that are ascribed to the devil in traditional Christian lore, I don't see where he's warning people what he's going to do before he does it. In the Garden of Eden, it's God who tells them not to eat from the tree of knowledge. If God hadn't done that, then the serpent would presumably have done the exact same thing it did in the story and convinced Adam and Eve to eat the fruit. The serpent didn't do anything except a manipulative evil act. The part where there was a warning came from someone else entirely. So in order for this to make any sense in Alex's moral conception, the morality or immorality of your actions can be determined by other people's actions. This would imply that it would be very wrong for me to punch you randomly and without warning. However, if someone were to tell you Dan is going to punch you when you go to his house, then my punch would be completely fine because someone else let you know that it was coming and you chose to come here anyway.
See?
In fact, in this conception, it could be argued that me punching you is never immoral in and of itself. If my punch is morally correct when someone else warns you, and morally incorrect when they do not, the actual distinction is the warning itself. That's where the moral weight lies. So it becomes a matter of the other person doing something immoral by not warning you. My punch doesn't matter at all.
Sure.
So then, what if no one else knows that I'm going to punch you? Then apparently I have to tell you ahead of time that I plan to punch you, and then if you come over anyway, you've consented to being punched. This is stupid for a number of reasons. To what extent do I need to make sure that you're aware that I'm going to punch you?
You have to serve people before you punch them.
Is it enough that I mumble it to you as you leave, knowing that you'll probably not hear me or forget by the time we end up getting together to record again?
I think you have to put it in a movie.
Is it enough for me to write, I'm going to punch Jordan the next time he comes over on a piece of paper that I taped to a lamppost 2 miles north of my house, knowing that you'll never pass that lamppost?
That's how Arthur Dent got that bypass.
Would that satisfy the metaphysical condition, even though there's literally no way it could ever impact your behavior?
Ask the Vogons.
You could say that the warning was that there, if you wanted to look for it, and it's really your fault that you didn't find that lamppost. It was right there in the open for everyone to see. To what extent does the person the thing is being done to need to be aware of the thing that's going to be done to them? This is a question that Alex cannot answer because no matter what the answer is, shit doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
If the standard is informed consent, then the globalists would need to be doing way more warning than they're doing right now. And honestly, would probably need to get literally everyone to sign off on their plans, knowing the implications of what they're agreeing to. So it obviously can't be that. If the standard is that the person needs to believe the warning, is that possible?
Sure.
That you need to believe it? Because even if that's the standard, I still don't think you deserve to be punched for coming over, whether or not you believe the warning.
Right.
Like, you might not believe it. Someone could say Dan's going to punch you if you come over, and you're like, ah, fuck you.
Sure. But you understand that this line of thinking makes perfect sense because of the way that all of these people have to deal with hell. Like, okay, if everybody that doesn't accept Jesus Christ into their heart is going to hell... Jesus didn't get his message out for a good long while to the rest of the world. So all of those people, despite never having heard of Jesus Christ, spend eternity in hell just because God was like, nah, geographical product placement. You know, like that's... So your argument then has to be, well, there's evidence of God all around you, so you should have known that God was real. And obviously Christ, if there's a God, there's got to be a Christ. So it's still your fault. And that's why hell is justifiable to people who've never heard of Christianity.
That might be... I think that you're trying to bring too much sense to it. And I'm trying to deconstruct this from an ethical perspective.
Fair. I'm saying that you've deconstructed both fairly well.
Well, see, here's what I think that Alex would say the standard is. He would say that the standard that you need to achieve is that you need to publicly admit this somewhere. So even if you do it in code that's only decipherable to a genius like Alex Jones, that's still good enough.
Yeah.
I struggle to see how this qualifies as warning people in an ethically meaningful way, for the same reason that my message taped to a lamppost doesn't seem like it could reasonably be seen as possibly impacting your behavior.
I mean, you know, Dan, we're dealing with Satan and God. There's obviously a lot of wiggle room in the rules. Those two guys aren't
known for
absolutes.
Alex is talking about human behavior, too.
Oh, shit. Well, we're fucked.
In order to make this morality work, it must not be the would-be victims of the crime that are required to be warned about what this person's going to do. It must be a thing where the act of writing it down and putting it out there is to serve as a notice to God of their intentions. Mm-hmm. But what kind of sense does that make? Also, what are the consequences for breaking these supposed galactic laws? And why should the devil be concerned with any punishment? He's already the fucking devil.
Disintegration is the punishment he fears most.
Well, then what? Okay, so he does that and then he disintegrates. Great, there's no devil anymore. Hooray!
Well, but God would have to create another devil, otherwise his prophecy wouldn't come true. See, again, here's where I'm really struggling with Alex and all this bullshit. You understand that for your actual religion to not be bullshit, you have to have the end times. You can't stop them. You can't delay them. It's God's moment. He chooses. There's no way that Biden is going to affect God's plan. Otherwise, your entire religion is nonsense.
Yeah, and you can't vote on the devil.
You can't vote on the devil!
Yeah.
I'm assuming Job would have had a different vote.
Yeah. This is the moral system of a child, and honestly, it's embarrassing to hear him try to explain his beliefs. It also kind of makes me sad to hear how small his vision of the divine is.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same kind of bummer I get whenever I hear people on Project Camelot talking about, like, alien contracts and stuff. It's like, ugh.
Come on.
Yeah.
Are you saying to me that even if we get beyond the stars, we're never going to get past the point where a signature is going to come hold the entire universe together?
Yeah.
It's still just going to be a signature.
Yeah, and God is trying to get the devil on technicalities or something. All right.
Aha, we have him on a RICO case.
Yeah. So, at this point, Alex does something incredibly familiar.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live, broadcasting worldwide. Again, we are back live, broadcasting worldwide. I am your host, Alex Jones. Very, very thankful to be here with you today. And I believe I'm connected. I believe I'm live. But, okay, we're going to go to rebroadcast for a while. And I will be back because I got to reset and go into this. I'm cool now. I got to reset. I can't do it. So this is too much going down here. So as I was saying, I've got some really important news we're going to be covering here. I need to get reset. And I sent you guys a lot of videos. I sent you guys a lot of things. And so the first thing that I'm going to want to play is whatever you guys want to. I'll be back in a little while.
What? What just happened there?
This is an important announcement.
So I was thinking about this and wondering what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
Alex is in D.C. now. He's arrived in D.C., so you lost the bet.
Yeah.
So he's freaking out trying to do this show remotely, and it sounds like shit. Like, there's a lot of audio crackliness. It's just terrible.
Yeah.
And honestly, even beyond that, his heart is not in it. So he freaks out a little bit, and he goes to rebroadcast. It honestly wasn't surprising to me at all, and it honestly seemed like a prudent decision.
Yeah.
The only real question to me is, why is he hosting at all?
Good question.
Then it dawned on me, there's probably no one else who can host.
Schroyer's on the caravan.
Yep.
David Knight is definitely not a primetime candidate.
Well, I think David Knight, he has his own show.
Right.
And he had a heart attack like a year ago.
Oh, that's true.
His workload, for his own sake, I think it's great that he's not taking on unnecessary burdens. But I think he would probably not be the person you would.
No.
And he's not going to move product.
And Millie Weaver is gone forever. Deanna Lorraine is terrible.
She's too green, probably, for the main show.
Yeah.
Same problem with Harrison Smith.
Yeah.
Like, he can fill in on the war room because no one's watching that, but actual Owen show, or I'm sorry, actual Alex show, seems like it's probably no good. Mike Adams is gone. Like, he can't talk to Mike Adams anymore.
No, of course not.
All the fourth hour fill-in hosts are either, like, they wouldn't do it, or how are you gonna have 3.5-4 hours of Gerald Celente? It's too much.
Are those the funeral bells? Because I can hear Roger Stone's name coming right down the
pipe.
He's
day drunk.
That's true.
He's fucked
See,
up.
See, now that's what I want. I want 3 hours of rambly day drunk Roger Stone.
I do not. I listened to it. I do not want it.
Fair.
There may literally be no one left at InfoWars who's able to fill in for Alex. It's interesting in a way. He's kind of reached the pinnacle of success, but at the same time, he's right where he started. He's got a giant business with a ton of employees, but he still needs to do everything himself because everyone sucks. He's the president's biggest cheerleader, but he's still ignored and cast aside in favor of more seemingly acceptable right-wing commentators.
Yeah.
It's the same as it ever was.
Yeah.
It's just, I feel like he should realize that the path he's on leads nowhere, and yeah. It never has.
Yeah. It started with him being alone, and it's going to end with him being alone, and good luck to you, buddy.
Yep. Except there's some good news.
What's that?
He goes off air, and he comes back, and then he starts talking about having cancer, and I was like,
wait, what?
I was like, wait, do you actually have cancer? And it's like, nah, I don't have
cancer.
Okay. Just the only way I can talk to you is from the heart and where I'm at before I had all this news. I am devastated. I am devastated. It's not just that I've learned that I have cancer and that I'm dying. It's I've learned we all have cancer and we're all dying. I don't literally have cancer. Though you have cancer every day and your body kills it with your immune system.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Okay.
All right. You didn't even need to add that shit.
No.
Just say I don't have cancer. But I could always be fighting off cancer any moment of any day.
That weirded me out because I kind of felt like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You have cancer. Yeah. I don't know. Okay, I would believe it.
Totally.
I have terminal cancer.
Okay.
Shit.
Well, no wonder you want the world to end.
Yeah. Your narcissism
you
is experiencing it that way.
Yeah.
Well, no. Unfortunately, that is not the explanation. Not unfortunately. I don't even know how I would put it. But, like, that's not the explanation. He just thinks that everyone's going to die.
Yeah.
But you should know he's not happy to report that.
Sure.
I'm sitting here last night and this morning thinking about what I'm going to say today on the air because of all the announcements and all the statements that have been made confirming our worst analysis and then some. And I don't feel good coming on air telling you that we're all dead. But I want to explain to you the reality of this, and we'll do it next segment because I'm very emotional right now.
Sound like it.
Yeah. Yep. Very emotional right now.
Ooh, boy.
All right. I don't want to. Man, now that we kind of get more of the gist of what he told his kids at the breakfast table, you're going to watch billions die is like not a good morning.
Kids, you got to head to the hills.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, we can do remote learning as far remote as we need to be.
Hey, look, I got some John Birch Society books. That's all the book learning you
no
need.
Kidding.
I mean, we're all going to die, and Alex takes no pleasure in reporting that.
Well, that's nice of him.
And I think he kind of wouldn't be reporting that if Trump had won the election, which is weird. But it turns out the election's stolen.
They stole this bigger than Dallas in front of everybody. But hey, if you catch somebody in your house with the safe, or in your house with the computers, or in your house with the silverware, and the family heirlooms, you have a right to take it back? Damn right you do. And so they are panicking. They're saying have a coup against Trump all over the news. They're saying he's insane, he's crazy, because he's not going to let them have this fifth attempted coup against us separately. You've got my commitment to burn the candle at both ends here, ladies and gentlemen. And we're fighting hard here. We need your financial support at InfoWarsStore.com. Bringing a caravan up here and flying here with the crew and all. We love you. We appreciate you. InfoWarsStore.com.
Bringing this caravan up here is shockingly pointless and spent a lot on gas for no reason.
Yeah.
Owen's a bummer.
I do appreciate the if. You know, if you catch a robber in your house.
Sure.
You know, that's good. If you catch, you know, you have a right to defend yourself, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But if instead of doing that, you lose something and then you drive to D.C. and murder someone who you've never met before and who's never been to
where you live.
It's
not quite the same as a robber.
It's not the same thing.
No.
I would argue.
Sort of feels similar to Alex.
It does, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of metaphysical laws.
Sure.
Alex is, you know, I think you can tell also from that clip that the audio has not gotten better.
No.
And so Alex gets really mad again.
Of course.
I'm on the road. I'm here in Washington, D.C. I'm having a lot of technical difficulties, but I'm just going to stay on here as best as I can. During the break, we'll try to fix the big muddy signal I'm getting blasted in my ear, but that's okay. That's why I like to go just with a laptop. just straight Skype. It's like slick, clean. You got this big fandangled thing. It looks like a space shuttle over here, and it just hammers the hell out of me every time. In fact, I'm making an executive decision. I'm going to rebroadcast. I'm unplugging all this. I'm going to laptop because it'll take a while, but it's okay. You know, we're real. We're real transmission here. I'm just trying the best I can here. You know, I'm not complaining either. It's just, God, the whole country's going to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah, man. I feel it.
I'm having broadcasting issues, yeah. So of course the entire country is falling apart, naturally.
Isn't my shitty setup just indicative of the state of the world?
Can't be. Yeah. Isn't it strange that me, Alex Jones of InfoWars, would have issues with my phone connection?
Hey, I constantly have these tech issues that plague me in studio and out, and every time I try and take a phone call from somebody, yep. And now here I am trying to broadcast from D.C., and yep. I'm having problems, and somehow I'm surprised by
it.
It's
a shock, and the world is clearly going to hell because
totally.
Of it. Yeah.
I will say that it's not. It's interesting that there's... This happens twice on this show.
Of course.
I don't recall the last time he's done this twice. But he ends up vamping until the commercial break, so sure. He doesn't actually have to storm out
gotcha.
A second time. But he ends up leaving early.
Of course.
He ends up...
he's got more fun things to do.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, totally.
Ain't wearing a hat, got cattle. So that's what it comes down. Now I'm out. Riding the range, which I wish I was doing, checking the fences, I might be wearing a Stetson. But I'm not lucky enough to get to do that because my country is in so much damn peril that I can't, like Hank Williams Jr. I like to ride my horse and shoot my gun. Country boys work she's never done. Now the rest of the song goes. Good Lord has certainly made a lot of beautiful women out there, hasn't he?
Wow.
Harrison Smith is going to be taken over, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm tempted to pop back in, but...
I won't.
I was here mentioning all this news, all this information that's unfolding. Hell, there's been so many people in this hotel room walking back and forth. I can't even remember what the last clip was I was going to play. What was the next clip, guys, I was going to get to? That's right. That's where I wanted to go. So
this is a great ad for Brain Force. You know, these sort of nootropics, supplements that give you focus and clarity and the ability to really stay on task.
Yeah. And the ability his teeth are disintegrating. That one's also a real eye opener.
The ability, like when you talk about mental fog versus clarity, you're talking about the ability to do a radio show in a hotel room where there are other people present.
Yeah.
God, just... Oh, boy. Anyway, Harrison Smith takes over for like the last half hour, and sure. I think that's about right. I think that's about what he can handle.
Yeah.
He's boring as shit. He's terrible, but...
Give him a little time.
Yeah. Get his feet wet.
Yeah, give him 5 minutes up top. He won't hurt the show.
Yeah. It's that kind of thing. Yeah, for sure. It's that stand-up show. It's like, all right, I want you to get some experience,
but we'll give you a little guest spot. Yeah. The host
we still
will...
have to move some product, so...
Yeah.
We have to keep the audience happy, so Alex is going to do most of it, although he's not going to do much.
No.
So that night or that day in caravan mm-hmm. activities,
mm-hmm.
it was really stormy that day for Owen. Mm. So he talked to an underwhelming group of people in the rain in North Carolina about how the election was stolen.
Sure.
And honestly, by this point, the charm of the caravan had worn off for me. It's redundant, it's unimpressive, and ultimately, it's too obvious what the game is.
Yeah.
This is all about creating the optics of taking your dumb show on the road, arriving at a much larger event, and then giving yourself credit for the turnout at the large event.
Yeah, totally.
It's honestly pretty disappointing. There was such great potential for this road trip. In the end, it's really forgettable.
Yeah.
I tried to find an angle of something interesting. We talked about the open mic comic who did the Shao Kahn impression. I tried to see if there was a human interest angle in here somewhere, but there just isn't. They had the opportunity to do something really interesting and compelling, and instead they did exactly what InfoWars always does. They produced a cookie-cutter performance that was meant to create profit and gather attention while funneling support to larger fascist movements. I'm really disappointed in them, but I also know there's not really anything else they can do.
Yeah.
The only thing that's even close to interesting in this stretch is they did a damage control video in Raleigh where Greg Reese and some other employee discuss how someone gave them a book with a Nazi bookmark in it. Their angle, naturally, is that this was an agent provocateur leftist who was there to make Trump look bad.
Naturally.
Although I would argue it's equally possible it was just a fan who gave them a Nazi bookmark and a yoga book.
Yeah.
After the Raleigh stop, they headed on to Richmond, Virginia, and honestly, it's a fine turnout, but it's more of the same. My highlight is that a guy is playing the trumpet there while the crowd sings the national anthem, and a shot of the trumpet player happens to include a historical marker in the background. This was actually shot on the site of the 1863 Richmond Bread Riot, which is kind of fitting. The Union forces had hurt supply lines for the Confederacy, so prices of food had increased in Richmond considerably. From History.com, quote, on April 1st, a group of poor working women held a meeting in a Baptist church to organize a demonstration against the rising costs of food. Mary Jackson, a 34-year-old mother, and Martha Ferguson riled up the audience with tales of rampant speculation and price gouging happening in the markets. Soon the mob was angry enough to agree to meet the very next day outside the Capitol building and extract bread and justice from the men in charge. The governor initially refused to meet with them, but then when he did, he was unsympathetic, so the mob went on a tear and started rioting. They stole food, but also luxury goods, until the riot police arrived and were prepared to fire. The reason that I think this is fitting that this ridiculous display was on this same site as the bread riot is because the aftermath of that riot was that the Confederacy tried really hard to keep it quiet, since they knew that word of this internal chaos would raise the morale of the Union armies.
Sure.
These videos are really things that Owen and InfoWars should try to keep quiet. They're out there yelling about how this is the end of the country and this caravan's the last battle and these are the crowds they can draw. I don't know if that raises my morale, but I think it should hurt theirs if they looked at it honestly.
Yeah.
Like, this is not impressive stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't like it. If I was doing that in any capacity, I've went on tours where I made negative money.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think I've only exclusively done that. Yeah.
I think I broke even once, Dan.
Maybe for me. Yeah.
If I was doing this in any, this would be bad for me on an amateur tour. Like, that's the level of bad this is.
Yeah, you might be able to get a little bit of B-roll from this.
Yeah, that's true.
For a larger thing.
Yeah. The camp video, the wrap-up video.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, it's not...
No, this isn't good.
It seems to me like this is them throwing everything they've got.
Yeah.
The most extreme language, the most immediacy possible, and it's still incredibly underwhelming.
Yeah.
And I would be embarrassed of that if I were InfoWars and if I were Owen. I would treat this like the Confederacy treated the bread riot.
Yeah.
And I would not have the trumpeter standing right in front of the memorial of that.
Hide it.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So we jump to the 13th, Friday, and Alex is back hosting his show again from D.C.
From D.C. That would have been really funny if he'd gone home.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I can't do it from here, and nobody is home.
And Trump called yesterday, but I was napping.
Yeah.
And I can't call him back.
He drove by the hotel and he stopped by and I was napping and he just couldn't get in.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let him in because he didn't have a room.
Yep. Classic hotel
staff.
Classic
hotel.
Yeah, it would be funny if he left, but instead he stayed and then just did nothing.
Yeah.
Except for yelling to a bullhorn.
That sounds right.
But here he is talking about what has happened on the caravan.
Sure.
And you would know that this wasn't true if you were keeping up with the caravan.
How would I know?
We caught Antifa on the way here. They were following us from Florida up into Virginia and now into D.C. Posing as patriots and handing out white supremacist literature. So that's going to be their main mission tomorrow. We actually caught them on video red-handed, and we actually intercepted their communications.
We love you, Alex!
Through a source. And
here's our Nazi stuff.
Through a mole. I was telling them we've infiltrated them. And they're planning to dress like MAGA folks at the march tomorrow. They'll be wearing their red baseball caps backwards and wearing camouflage pants.
Uh-huh.
is how they're dressing.
So sure. Alex is just making all that up.
Sure, sure.
And the only thing that's real is that book that someone gave them with a Nazi bookmark in it that they've decided is leftist agitators.
Man.
And now he's turned this into they have a mole, and Antifa followed them from Florida up through the whole convoy all the way up, and there's plans for in D.C. they're going to show up with backwards MAGA hats and camouflage pants.
Sure.
And they're going to hand out dirty literature to everyone to make the Patriots look bad. So dumb.
I can think of few things that would do more for the cause than Antifa joining that InfoWars caravan as agent provocateurs. Mm-hmm. I just don't think there's anything else that could be done for the movement that would have that much effect.
Yeah. I don't think I've heard anybody but me talk about this.
Really, the caravan is just for them and us, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm not positive that I've seen any like angry tweets about it or anything.
No, no.
I think I saw a couple people posting about the milkshake from the truckers.
Sure, sure.
I think I saw a little bit of jokes about that. But in terms of this, I don't think anybody gives a shit except for them and me.
Yep.
I don't think Antifa's following anybody.
Boy. It's really annoying that you spend all of your time whipping up white supremacists to fight for you, and then you're like, I don't know where all these white supremacists come from. Must be leftists.
Must be Antifa.
Come on, man. You've spent so much time loving these guys. Let's just move on.
It's a little much.
Just say it.
Yeah.
It's not going to alienate 48% of the country.
It's not going to alienate the people who are still listening to you at this point.
Exactly.
If you can ramble about the literal devil all the fucking time and say all this nonsense bullshit and people don't leave, just mask off,
just
man.
Toss a Sig Heil out.
Who cares?
Who fucking cares?
So, but even if he does do that, these listeners, Nazi or otherwise, need to recognize that their lives are over. And so, because their lives are over, it's time to go yell at the governor.
Okay.
When you're tuning in, I want everybody to understand, your life is over as you know it until you fight back. We need people every day surrounding the governor's mansion where Governor Abbott is. If he's in a restaurant eating, you don't go up and threaten him. You go up and you say, sir, we know you're being blackmailed. We know the lockdown's permanent. Be a leader and stop it. We need to start his recall.
Smash cut to Alex complaining about people yelling at Trump officials at restaurants.
A bunch of leftist provocateurs,
Also, there are 20 states in the United States where a governor can be recalled, and Texas is not one of them. In order for Alex to do his plan about recalling Governor Abbott, he would first need to find justification for a new law in the Texas Constitution and then get a law passed by the state legislature. It would be a cumbersome process that he's not up for, and honestly, it would probably just be easier to wait until he's up for re-election and then field a fringe-ass candidate to lose to him and probably split the vote so a Democrat ends up winning. Also, Governor Abbott's not being blackmailed. He's still an incredibly far-right politician, just not far-right enough for Alex. He's failed Alex's purity tests.
It's not illegal to write a law that just says Governor Abbott can never be governor, right?
Abbott out.
Abbott, no Abbott. No Abbotts forever.
Yeah, that might be an interesting law.
I would be interested in that
law. I think it would get challenged. Someone would file a lawsuit.
On what grounds?
I'm not a lawyer. So in this next clip, this clip's a little bit long, but I kept it in because it begins with Alex talking about how he's not into offensive violence.
Sure.
And then it's quite a ramble about a bunch of nonsense. But I think I needed to play it. It's 2.5 minutes long.
Uh-huh.
But the reason I wanted to play this whole chunk is like if you listen to this, it's sort of an ABA kind of structure.
Okay.
Where you have the A theme of offensive violence.
Sure.
Then B is kind of just random talking points, spaghetti up against the wall. And then you return to what the thesis of the initial thought was. But by that point, your brain will, like, if you're not paying attention, you'll kind of already have forgotten that that's what he was talking about.
Sure, okay.
And this happens quite a bit, but I rarely play full clips of it, just because it's long.
And I don't want any offensive violence, but I see a lot of talk online, people saying time to dust off the muskets. Here's the issue, existentially, and I'll get to these clips and the big news. Under common law, under common sense,
You cannot come with experimental dangerous vaccines, whether they be safe or not, and they're not, they're deadly, and it's obviously the takeover. These people have liability protection. They have long histories of killing people with vaccines. They are eugenicists that want to depopulate you. When somebody says, I want to depopulate you, and he's spent hundreds of billions of dollars he got from big foundations and the robber barons to get control of the world health system and most nation state systems, he's been thrown out of over 20 countries, Gates has, but he's in another 140 or so.
Thrown out of 20 countries.
When you've got something of that magnitude.
Through a plate glass window.
And he says he wants to do this, and it's what he comes out of, Cold Springs Harbor and the eugenics. And then he's coming, violating the Geneva Convention, violating the Nuremberg Code, violating international law. If the Nazis were coming to give you a deadly shot or take your kids away, you don't just have a right, you have a duty to fight them. So they've already shut down the communications almost everywhere. Now they're coming. Now they're going to beta test in Canada and Europe in this round and in California and in New York, dragging people out of their homes, beating people up that don't wear masks, taking people's children away. The UN said that was the goal. It's already happened in Australia and Spain. Now it's happening in England. And they're just normalizing that vans come, cops have guns, you disappear. And then again, if they say you have COVID, these are leftist doctors at extermination centers, not guillotines. They say, oh, he had COVID, and now you're going to see people taken to the COVID centers. It's already happening in Australia. The people die in these. You're totally healthy. They take you. They go, oh, he got sick. We had to intubate him. And yeah, he died after 2 weeks on a ventilator. So they strap you down, and the communist Chinese do this, and they put it down your lungs, and they kill you. And they sit there and laugh at you while you're dying. And they turn it up way higher. In fact, a lot of the old folks in the Blue City areas where they have these killer eugenics doctors, they're in cult bioethics boards like Ezekiel Emanuel, saying he wants to kill old people. He runs this. He hires for decades all these boards. These are psycho killers. And even the medical association said, why did you give people twice the pressure you're supposed to? And there's like, because they got to get kill numbers. So they're coming to kill you. They're coming to kill you. They're right. Coming to kill you.
Right. So you kind of get what I'm saying. He starts with the presentation of, like, there's a lot of people who are saying, clean off your rifles. And then he gives the appearance of saying that, no, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
And that is good for him because he can sort of point to that as being like, this is me pushing back against the idea of offensive violence.
Totally.
Now, the next 2 minutes is him saying 100 fucking different things that you can't keep track of all these various little bullshit pieces.
No, Ezekiel Emanuel wants to kill everybody.
Totally.
Yeah.
Cult leftist doctors.
Bioethics boards.
Psycho killers.
Do cults create bioethics boards? Is that a thing I didn't know about?
That's what the new Assassin's Creed is actually about.
Goddamn Templars.
Yeah. And then it gets to the end, and the message that he's trying to drive home is, they're coming to kill you, they're coming to kill you, they're coming to kill you. This is the answer to the beginning of it.
Yeah.
This is him saying,
there is no such thing as offensive violence now.
It's not a question of that. Existentially, this isn't even a question we need to worry about.
Yep.
All violence is defensive.
You got it.
But he doesn't need to actually say that if he structures the argument this way.
Yep.
And if anybody tries to say, like, Alex, you're advocating for people to dust off their rifles and fire at people if they feel like they're vaccine
if
pushers.
A bioethics board is coming for them,
or someone is telling you to wear a mask,
that's offensive violence.
Right.
So you're anything you do to that person is defensive.
And if anybody tries to say that, Alex, this is what you're saying, he can point to, like, I said that there's a lot of people who are saying clean off the rifles, and I was pushing back against that idea.
Alex, you are one of them.
Yeah,
you just did.
Well, I mean, the larger context of it is the coward's way of saying exactly that. Just shoot people. There's no such thing as offensive violence.
Mm-hmm. But if you do commit that one of those crimes, I will say that it's a leftist who did
it.
And that it was offensive.
Yeah, and then they also handed me a fucking book with a Nazi bookmark in it.
Yeah.
And followed me from Florida.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So in this next clip, Alex talks about a conspiracy that I'd like to see him substantiate at all.
Okay.
And the police come and say, you're not allowed to criticize the lockdown, and arrest them and disappear them. And by the way, a lot of these people, we need to try to get them on, Daria. Remember that Swedish couple was panicking, and they come, and she was organizing a demonstration, and they arrested her husband. They'd never been seen again last time I heard. We need to check on them. Same thing in Australia. They've disappeared thousands of people. Members of city councils that said no. We're taking a military base.
Probably fine.
Some were never seen again.
What? There's a big difference between you not checking.
This is what I'm saying. This is object permanence.
Yes.
If they still existed, we would have heard them about them in the news again.
Yeah.
Since we haven't heard about them in the
news.
They've
never been seen again.
They've been killed.
They've been
disappeared.
That's
the only explanation.
Yeah. That's really sloppy.
That's all it takes.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
I would assume.
I have not seen my delivery driver for the Chinese food that I got last night for 24 hours, and I'm thinking about filing a missing person report.
That's scary. I would assume that if city council members were being disappeared, there would be openings on city councils that were very suspicious.
We would at least have elections.
We'd have a runoff. Like, why? We elected somebody.
Somebody disappeared. Don't worry about it.
Okay. I think that
would you update their Wikipedia page?
One thing that would happen there is paperwork.
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
You'd be able to point to something.
Definitely. There would be paperwork.
Conspicuous in its absence from any of this is any proof. And when Alex says there's this Swedish couple, they've never been seen again. We should look into them. Like, that tells me you haven't.
Yeah.
And you're making that up.
Yeah. So why would you say it?
Yeah. So Alex goes to calls. He takes some calls.
Mm-hmm.
One of them he offers a job to.
Sure.
And this guy is somebody who he'd previously offered a job to.
Okay.
And he's like, hey, you said give me a half hour show or something. And Alex is like, oh, yeah, man, we're going to start that up soon.
So sure.
He's still planning on starting that
love
show
it,
with callers
it.
Up
love
soon.
Love it. Love it.
But yeah, so here's what this caller's theory is about what the Dems are up to.
I feel like the left is winding up their people. They projected this win so that when Trump does win on the day of the eclipse, December 14th, when that all gets sorted out, I feel like it's just going to create bedlam in the streets. And
there's
that's why I feel like they're going right into the COVID news now to create a lockdown scenario in all those leftist areas to lock those people down, to suppress them even more, so that they go crazy when Trump wins to really stoke the civil war. And I feel like that's really what they set up.
I totally agree with you, sir. What else do you think's coming?
I feel like you were saying about the bio attack thing, I feel like just going with God here and looking at the alignments and God's handiwork here, just look, there's a great conjunction on December 21st.
Uh-oh, Mayan apocalypse.
Wow,
shit.
Wow.
It's back.
I'm sick of conjunctions,
8 years
man.
Later, it's back.
Sick of conjunctions.
So that eclipse that's happening on December 14th isn't
sure.
going to be visible in any part of North America.
But they will be able to feel it?
It's only going to be seen in South America, parts of Northern Antarctica, and some of Southwest Africa. Mm. I have no idea why that would be significant in the United States, but we'll go off. Whatever.
Come on. It's an eclipse. Eclipses are global events, Dan. It's the sun and the moon, and they're doing a whole thing. They're spinning all the time.
I grow weary of these sorts of ideas being brought to Alex's attention and being like, I fucking agree.
I fucking love it.
Totally.
Damn right. No, yeah, of course. Yeah, they're locking leftists down to whip them up into a frenzy. So whenever Trump definitely doesn't steal the election and wins it outright, they'll be whipped into an insane frenzy and start the civil war.
And they knew that all of this.
They
was,
knew all th- of
and
it.
And they knew they had to do all of this right now because the stars are aligning
exactly.
And there's an eclipse on December 4th.
It's the eclipse.
Just,
they gotta do it.
I you know what I grow weary of? Anybody who dares take this shit seriously.
Yeah.
Anybody who has the pretense of like, no, he actually has some really good ideas. He's right about more than he's wrong about.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself. You never listen to this show.
If you listen to this shit, you'd be like, oh, God damn it.
Anybody, I challenge them. If they think that Alex is more right than he's wrong.
No kidding.
Explain away.
Tell me about how eclipses are part of the fucking plan.
And
Just do it.
And every civilization's ended because of priests eating people.
Yeah, in only 100 years.
Yeah.
And of the people are dead.
To be fair, sometimes it was like 100 years.
Okay.
There's different time frames.
Sure,
but it always ends up with a human barbecue.
Every civilization that's
Everyone.
Turned its back to Christ, Dan.
Totally.
It falls apart.
Yep. So instead of just handing off the baton to Harrison Smith on this episode, right. Alex has a little bit of a fancy maneuver, and that is he has Ezra Levant from Rebel Media come on to host for a couple segments, and then Harrison takes over.
Nice.
So Alex still gets to leave early.
Nicely done.
Ezra Levant is coming up. Very excited. I'm going to interview him for a segment he's a great talk show host in his own right with Rebel Media. He's going to take over for two segments, and then we're going to have Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer hosting from D.C. Harrison's back in Austin, Texas.
The interview is not very interesting at all. And the only other clip Alex has on this show before he leaves that I think is interesting in any way is this.
But, man, let me tell you, Trump won in a landslide. Everyone I know believes Trump won. Black, white, Hispanic, old, young. I mean, it's like 60% support Trump. Everybody knew Trump was working his ass off. No one votes for that dead zombie Biden and Kamala that had 0.5% support in Democrats. Everyone hates them. That's why the globalists chose them, because they're such weak puppets, they can control them. So I think we have 60%. It's just we have to convince ourselves that we are the majority and start not complying.
This is in reference to a caller who's like 3% in polls believe Trump won the election.
Yeah.
And Alex is like, I think we got 60.
I think it's 100%.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
So he talks to Ezra Levant. It's inconsequential. And then the show wraps up.
I think what frustrates me the most is that the principal reason that Alex and the conservatives like Trump is because he's a dick to libs.
Yeah. Lib tears.
Did it never occur to you that that would motivate libs? Right? Say, okay, fine. Say that nobody's voting for Biden. The principal factor of your guy is making a lot of people hate him.
Yeah, that's motivating. And then when you add on, like, the existential danger that he presents to vulnerable populations, you can probably galvanize quite a bit of support that way as well.
Yeah.
It's all just dumb.
Yeah.
Anyway, on Friday, the convoy arrived in D.C. And at that point, it's really kind of pointless to discuss it as it being its own thing anymore.
Yeah.
From that point on, the caravan just became another group of participants in the larger, very sad display in D.C. Here's a little clip of Owen. I guess this is their point now.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been trying out a new chant, actually, on this road trip. You guys want to try this with me? Yeah. I think everybody agrees with this. I'm not sure. So if you don't agree with this, you can just hang your head. Government sucks!
Government sucks!
Government sucks!
Government sucks! Government sucks! Government sucks! Government sucks! Government sucks! Government sucks!
I don't know what they're doing.
Oh, man. Oh, God.
Yes, we've been wildly obsessed with electoral politics for the last little while, and yet here we are trying to overturn an election while yelling, government sucks.
I just, you guys don't understand anything.
Well, I mean, if you want to be anarchists, go for it.
No, of course. But they don't want to be anarchists. Yeah. They hate anarchists.
No.
God, I hate these people.
Yeah. A government that is not fully in line with exactly what we want in a way that represses the people we don't like sucks. That's the real chant.
Nah, Nazis suck.
Yes.
Nah, Nazis suck.
On the one hand, it's only fair that I congratulate Owen for being able to get to D.C. theoretically on time.
Lost me $50.
In hindsight, this was a miscalculation on my part because I thought that they were actually planning to do things in the cities that they went to, not just drop in on ongoing rallies for about 15 minutes before leaving. They were able to achieve their goals on their trip because they had no goals. So I guess I just overestimated the project.
You put together that time schedule where I was like, yeah, I would say 2 hours is about right for a rally.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to go do some glad handing.
Maybe you want to see something in the town, too.
Totally.
Like, it's awesome to go around America. Maybe you go like... And I know from the times that I've been on the road, like, there's just unexpected shit. Like, you might have to take a shit. You might have to pull over at a rest stop for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
And sometimes you might get lost. How many times have you been on the road and been like, we're 15 minutes off track.
It's the
doubling
best.
Back. Now you've lost half an hour.
It's the best.
Yeah.
It's the best. You might even stop and see the world's largest blank.
Sure.
It's the best.
I think that they probably weren't on time for most of it, but they did end up pulling it off and the trip ended up. So like, congratulations.
I mean, but they set the bar so low for success.
I had more ambition for them than they did.
Of course we did.
And that's kind of...
Of course we did.
That's kind of sad.
This is why we're here.
Yeah. With that congratulation out of the way, I have to say that this was one of the most pathetic, dismal, embarrassing, and childish weekends I've ever seen in this country. The prelude of Alex's completely pointless and poorly attended caravan tour is what made me pay closer attention. But if not for that aspect, I think I might have given this entire million MAGA march nonsense a pass in terms of attention.
Fuck it.
The turnout on Saturday was in the tens of thousands, but nowhere near their goal of a million people, and well below the 400,000 plus who came to D.C. for the 2017 Women's March. It doesn't even come close to the turnout for Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert's rally to restore sanity and or fear back in 2010. There are two pieces of the puzzle here that are important to recognize are both true and seem at odds with each other, but are not. The first is that this rally was a horrible failure. The turnout wasn't even close to what the organizers and propagandists like Alex would have wanted, having built this up as their last fight for the country. The fact that they did a poorly attended caravan leading up to the march only serves to highlight how thin the support for their cause is in other cities around the country, even in the more conservative-leaning South. Their attempt at creating optics of the country speaking out in support of Trump has really only proven that their best shot isn't even a fraction of the people who will come out to support reproductive rights or civil rights protections. There's going to be excuses for the small turnout, and there'll be pictures that do look like million people, but they're far less. There have already been a ton of attempts to use pictures from the Women's March or the March for Our Lives protest, which have been erroneously claimed to have been from this weekend.
Naturally.
There have also been edited videos of Trump supporters being attacked, where the context of them initiating the violence was left out. These will be the attempts to salvage what the Trump scammers can from this utter failure of a rally. The second piece of the puzzle is that the turnout was still way too high, and that's because this rally was explicitly radical. This was not a political rally in the sense that like a march supporting the Second Amendment or a march protesting a tax hike might be.
Yep.
The only reason this rally was happening is that these people decided to show up to say they don't want to follow the rules of the country anymore. Whenever there's a new president elected, the side that doesn't win will often hold demonstrations, and you're likely to hear people chanting stuff like, "Not my president," and I bet you could find small pockets of people in those protests who insist the election itself was invalid and the results aren't real. This weekend's rally was an entire rally that just consisted of that small pocket, which is now, I guess, the right wing. This rally was a collection of really fucked up weirdos. Alex Jones had the Proud Boys giving him security, apparently one of whom had a Pinochet Did Nothing Wrong shirt on. The Oath Keepers may or may not have had men stationed around the city in case shit got hot.
Great.
Nick Fuentes and his grapers walked around as completely normal participants in the affair. QAnon weirdos were all around.
Naturally.
The seeming contradiction is the same thing that haunted every stop on the caravan. In every city, the turnout they got was minuscule compared to the way they present their audience. Every event they held would be considered a flop by anyone who seriously had the self-image that they do. But they don't mean it when they describe how popular they are. It's kind of a joke. They know they're lying, just like Alex does when he says there were 400 cars in the caravan. That's a lie for the benefit of the listener in the middle of nowhere who thinks they're hearing dispatches from the front line, not realizing that they're being deceived to sell them pills. They don't care that there's no one at the actual rally, because on some level, everyone at InfoWars has to know that in a sane world, no one would show up at their rallies. 9 people showing up to send them off in Austin is more than they deserve, based on their credibility, work ethic, and integrity.
Indeed.
This is the same dynamic at the DC rally. The turnout is a disaster if you're looking at it as a sincere attempt at a political rally. If you're looking at it for what it is, which is a collection of people living in a completely fractured reality that's at odds with our reality and sees our reality as hostile, then the turnout should be terrifying and a wake-up call. Any event that would allow people like Nick Fuentes and Alex Jones to speak on their stages is not a political event, and I worry that some people there, or some people who might have seen coverage of the rally, they might not understand that dynamic and how extreme the stuff they're seeing actually is.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think about what the future holds, but I do have a couple of main thoughts that came up. The first is that Alex's messaging to his audience is completely out of sync with his public behavior. In this period where he's going to DC and joining in this rally that's trying to reinstall Trump as the president of the country, he's simultaneously telling his audience that there's no hope and everyone's going to die, so everyone needs to head to the hills. This messaging is discordant. And it kind of gives you the impression that his primary focus is attention-seeking behavior and selling survival food buckets.
There you go.
The second is that we are about to be entering a period where fantasies and alternative realities on the extreme right are going to be coming into large-scale conflict with what I'm going to call reality. As more and more excuses for why these fantasies aren't coming true become unconvincing, the need to escalate will be ever present. Whereas before, in his earlier career, Alex could justify his conspiracies by pointing to the Federal Reserve, now in the era of Trump, in order to make anything he's saying make sense, he needs to evoke the literal devil, end times prophecies, outrageously complicated and nonsensical conspiracies, and insistences that everyone he doesn't like is a pedophile. Without strong forces pushing in the opposite direction, this road only leads to deeper extremism. There's no point where someone like Alex will be like, "All right, good job, we achieved our goals." If he ever reached his impossible-to-attain goal of eliminating all the globalists, I would bet everything that I own that he'd magically find a new sect of neo-globalists and just knock me down with a feather. They all happen to not be white. What I'm saying is, I'm worried.
Well, extremism on the right has always been there, obviously. They're the right. That's kind of their position. But in electoral politics, you used to be able to give them a bone, you know, like, oh, George W. Bush lowered the marginal tax rate. That's like a little pressure valve. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to win. You know, the president gave us something. We elected him and we got the win that we were looking for. Now, all of the wins that they want are either imaginary and so cannot be achieved,
right,
or impossible and so also cannot be achieved, or will kill everyone, so hopefully will not be achieved.
Well, even the imaginary...
So there's no pressure valve, you know, other than violence, really.
The imaginary and the impossible ones, the practical real-world versions of them are exactly what it would look like if someone were taking authoritarian rule.
Exactly.
You know, it would be like the... prosecution, targeted prosecution of the leadership of the opposition party.
Yeah, we want Hillary to go to prison. That's not going to happen,
right?
Guys.
Yeah. The real world version of any kind of thing that would be like, yes,
yeah,
we've gotten what we want.
Yeah,
would be
public execution.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So it's like there's no pressure release valve, and if the right hadn't have weaponized imagination, then they could have been like, oh, well, Trump put up fucking he dropped environmental protection, so we win. But nobody gives a shit about that on the right. They just want murder.
If Alex wants to try and continue his brand, he should just be focusing on the fact that Trump got out of the TPP or whatever.
Sure, something.
And stay on that talking point and be like, let's build from there. But he can't.
And your messaging on the right was never economic anxiety. It used to come off that way, but now it's just full-on racism. So you can't even be like, oh, well, we got out of the TPP because of economic anxiety or anything like that. It's like,
well, no. You might want to tell the Times that.
Yeah.
I think that it's really worrisome. The rally itself in D.C.
Yeah.
was worrying.
Yeah.
Like, this is an attempt to take over fully the GOP with these scam artists,
yep,
these Trump scam folk.
Yep.
I think that's probably wise of them. I think it's the only thing they can do.
It's their best shot now.
Yeah. Although they'll end up in a turf war with QAnon soon enough.
Sure.
And then they'll fracture the party and then Democrats will win every election moving forward.
That's probably the most likely outcome of that in the long term is they will eventually kill each other. Mm. They'll destroy themselves from within.
Or at least diminish their own electoral power.
Sure. But I meant metaphorically, yeah. Not, you know. But that's like the long term. Mm-hmm. The short term is fucked up shit.
Yes, it is.
Always fucked up shit.
Yes, it is. And it's very scary.
Fuck.
Yep.
Oh, well.
Anyway,
hey!
Much like everything on Knowledge Fight, this Caravanity project has started fun and ended up depressing. So great.
The good news is, though, in South Carolina, they did find a homeless man with a computer chip in his hand, but they couldn't get footage of it.
He gave him that Nazi book.
Exactly. There's the problem. Yeah. That's what happened.
So I resent this so much.
Yeah.
They ruined my fun.
I just...
want to have fun.
They just don't understand how to do anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
How much fun would it be if one of the videos is just like Owen being like, all right, we're going to go to this North Carolina. We're going to go to this Raleigh event. But you know what? While we're in town, I'm going to try and find the best hot dog.
Totally. Something.
Anything.
Something.
Some personality other than we're angry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wah.
We're angry and we're sensitive.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're angry and we're like, please don't hit us with milkshakes. God damn it. You
gotta hit the the car wash.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Anyway, thank you all for joining us on this Caravanity project.
Yes, indeed.
I think that I need a day off, and so I think we will be back at the end of the week.
Yes.
I think we'll have an episode on Friday this week.
I believe so, yeah.
Because I also just don't think that Alex is going to be like back to putting out some content that I can cover in time for Wednesday's episode or anything.
Yeah.
And I don't want to... Look, sorry, guys. Everybody out there, sorry. I don't want to cover Alex going on Tim Pool.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't respect Tim Pool enough to deconstruct an episode of his squirrely ass.
Plenty of people told me that Alex was on Tim Pool, and I was like, who the fuck is Tim Pool, and why would I give a shit?
Yeah. He's somewhat relevant to the worlds that we cover, but I find him so insufferable.
Yeah.
And also, he seems like somebody who might bother me.
What type of douchebag
is he? He seems like the kind of guy who might email me.
Oh, he's going to try and
fuck... If we do an episode about him. And I just don't even want to deal with that.
Okay.
I don't want to wake up someday and see a notification, Tim Pool wants to debate or something. I just don't want to do it. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to do that. But maybe sometime in the future. Maybe as sort of a look back thing. But there's no immediacy.
No.
I have no interest in,
I'm fine
in covering it the same way we might cover Rogan.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be back at the end of the week. But until then, we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yes. We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's at @knowledge_fight. And at GoToBedJordan.
Yep. We're on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. And just download the show, rate, revive iTunes. And if you could, please find a local charity or bail fund in your area to help out people doing God's work.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Daryl Rundis. I am that trucker who threw a milkshake at the dude in the caravan.
Andy in Kansas. You're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.